Welcome to the Bitches Be Brave podcast. We know how difficult and crazy it can be to juggle family, career, and not to mention make time for yourself as a busy working mom.
So it's time to get inspired and gain the tools to create a life you love. We are your hosts, Bev Steele
and Heather Hobbs.
Join us as together we motivate, inspire, and gain tools to thrive in all areas of life. Let's go.
Welcome to this episode of Bitches Be Brave. We are interviewing Laura Bartlett today, who is the founder of House of Coco online travel magazine. And she is amazing. This woman does not know what fear is. Fear is not in her vocabulary. She is just literally one of the most inspirational women I think we've talked to, and just how she has had these, you know, what some people would call failures, but just keeps rebounding and rebounding. And now she has created this huge, you know, huge business that is extremely successful. And to me, just such a huge inspiration.
Yeah. And I think that no matter what our listeners want from their lives, from their day, from, you know, any aspect of their life, to understand that failure is just part of the process. And so many times we attack what either a new career or a diet or anything. And once something doesn't go right, then, you know, all bets are off. And instead of celebrate those failures, know that that's a sign to pivot. We love that word, don't we? Pivot. And understand that's almost a success then, right? Failure is success. That's my new mantra. Failure is success.
Well, I mean, when you listen to her story and so many other stories that we've heard on this podcast and other places, and that you would not be where you are if you hadn't gone through some of the trials and the errors that you've been through. And it's what makes you stronger. And, you know, I love her message that she talks about just really being true to yourself. And what is it on the inside that you feel you're meant to share? And when you follow that and you go after that and you see that and you just keep going, I feel like you're not going to fail. You know, it's part of you. And the truth is, yeah, it's not possible to fail.
Yes. And we've been pounding this in to everybody since we started this podcast, that visualization, a vision board, just do something. I mean, she talks about that. You could just see the passion in her glowing and talking about how she, well, I won't spoil it, but such, you know, how she uses her vision and how that propelled success. And, you know, no matter what you want, whether you're visualizing it in your head or you're writing it down on paper every day, or you've got it stuck on a board, do that and you will be amazed at how things will change in your life.
Yep. We've heard that over and over and over again. So I think there's no denying it. I think I think we all need to just really start doing it and see where life takes us, because it's going to be amazing. So this is a good one. I know you guys are going to want to share it. So please do share it and go on and give us a rating. Let us know what you think.
Be brave.
Here we go. Hey guys, we're just taking a quick break to tell you about an amazing new wine that we just discovered. You guys know that nobody loves a glass of wine more than we do, but when we learned what is actually in the wine that we were drinking, we were shocked. No wonder we were getting headaches, brain fog, and having trouble sleeping.
That's right, Heather, but then we discovered dry farm wines. Dry farm wines are organically crafted, unprocessed wine free of sugar, additives, and lower in alcohol. These wines are amazing, and they're better for our bodies and our planet. Now we can enjoy the pleasure and euphoria of wine without the negative effects of higher alcohol consumption.
To find out where you can try these amazing wines and get a special Bitches Be Brave discount, click on the link in our show notes below. Welcome. We are here today with Laura Bartlett, who's the award-winning founding editor and publisher of global magazine House of Coco, sold all over the world. Having built this business in her 20s with zero investment from the ground up, Laura is a leading voice for young female entrepreneurs and a larger-than-life example of failure breeding strength. From being ridiculed by Peter Jones on The Dragon's Den at the age of 25, she is now in demand from brands all over the world, living her dream life. Laura is a girl boss with a passion for speaking, inspiring, and motivating others to be the best possible versions of themselves. Laura is passionate about encouraging all readers, but especially millennials, to live their best lives, to take risks, to follow their dreams, and to be in control of living on their terms. Welcome to our podcast today, Laura. We're so excited to have you here.
Thank you. I feel like I should just take you everywhere to introduce me.
Ooh, that was- I know.
She's good.
Oh my gosh. Well, what a story. And I'd love for you to maybe start from the beginning and let us know your path and how, what got you to this amazing point that you're at right now.
I guess it probably started when I was around 18 when I did my A-levels and failed all of them, decided education wasn't for me, and I heard an advertisement on the radio for a media sales executive, and I thought, what the hell is that? That sounds cool, I want it. And it was to work for the radio station. So I applied for this job, and I said, I don't have a CV, I've never had a job before, but I'm a sponge and I'm willing to learn. And I somehow winged my way into this sort of 20 or 30,000 pounds a year job with a company car, working in the radio station, and I fell in love with the world of media. And from there, I was headhunted by a local magazine on less a salary, but a better company car. I was very shallow back then. And it turned out to be a bit of a dick. And I just thought, if you can be a dick and have a magazine, then why can't I, without being a dick, obviously. And so I launched an online magazine, which will be 10 years ago, I think now, 9 or 10 years ago. And it was all about fashion and events in my city, which is Leeds. I'm in Yorkshire in the UK. And it was just an online thing. And I got another job in radio, and I just kept getting in trouble all the time by my boss for writing content at work. And I just thought, you know what? I'm going to quit. And I just quit and decided to turn this online magazine into a print publication. I did a massive launch event in the city, and there was hundreds of people queuing up to get their hands on the first issue. And I did that for about a year and a half. And I then decided I didn't just want to have a local magazine. I wanted an international magazine, and I didn't think I could do it by myself. And I applied to go on Dragon's Den, which is like the Shark Tank equivalent. Mm-hmm. And I got on the show, and I was totally annihilated by the dragons, who said, who do you think you are? Quit now. It's never going to work. So I made a fool of myself in front of millions of people on this TV show. And I had a 6-month period between filming and airing where sort of sink or swim. So I just worked really hard. I got advertisers on board, a distribution company involved, and I launched this magazine on sale in 16 countries, and it sold out worldwide. And from the exposure of the show, there was loads of opportunities. And one of them was to partner with the Clothes Show, which at the time was the biggest event in fashion. So my magazine, Elle and Cosmopolitan, were the media partner for this specific year. And I was sort of led to believe I might make around £100,000, best case scenario, £500,000. So in my head, I just thought, I'm going to make all this money. And I took my foot off the gas. I exhausted like 30-day payment terms with printers that I'd built up. And I just thought, I'm going to make all this money. I put all my eggs in one basket. And I made £5. So the company went into liquidation, and I got made bankrupt, and I lost absolutely everything. So I sat in a coffee shop just 5.5 years ago with a friend, and I said, I've decided I'm going to try again. I'm going to launch another magazine, but this time it's going to be about travel, and I'm going to grow a team of people, and we're going to travel the world, creating content, living our best lives to encourage our readers to go out and do the same. And 5 years later, we're now one of the largest distributed travel magazines in the UK. I've got a team of 50 contributors, and we literally just travel the world. Like, it's a dream, really. Like I was saying, I was supposed to be jetting off on a yacht around Turkey today. Obviously, COVID-19 has scuppered that plan. But if I could look back at when I sat in that coffee shop and my friend had to buy me the coffee because I was bankrupt, literally skint, but literally officially bankrupt as well, I never would have thought that 5.5 years later I'd be where I am now. So yeah, that's the story, really.
You really believe wholeheartedly that failure breeds strength. And so just listening to your story on the Dragon's Den, what happened there sounds like it really did fuel you to get things done. And then again, you had it didn't work out, and you just picked it up and moved forward again. So can you tell us a little bit, like, where did that come from? You know, so many times we hear stories where, you know, you've hit rock bottom, or, you know, there's failures, and then there are those people that can rise out of it. So how did you do that, and where did that come from?
I think I've always been quite strong-minded. I think it's probably just my parents have always like built me up and given me, encouraged me to like follow my dreams and don't be afraid. And I just think as well, like, people don't understand that failure is a part of the process. And I think we need to kind of normalize failure. Whereas back then I was kind of embarrassed by what happened on Dragon's Den, and I was embarrassed that I'd been made bankrupt. And now I look back and I think, you know, that's part of my story. That's helped me become the person that I am today. And I think people see success as you just wake up one day and you're successful. But I think we as entrepreneurs, we need to share the truth behind the scenes and show people that in order to succeed, you will have to fail. Like, it's part of the journey. And if we can normalize it, then people like realize that that's what's going to make them successful in the long run.
You thrive on that almost, right? I mean, you've just like, come on, show me what's next. Do you think I can? I'm going to show you I can. And I love that. And, you know, when I look back and kind of reflect on my own life, I think there were definitely parts of my time when I was in my 20s where I was a lot more of a risk taker than I am today. And sometimes you look back, you know, decades later when you've got the house and the kids and you go, where'd she go? You know, like that person. I miss that. And I, you know, how do you inspire other people who may be at that point in their life where, you know, you start to lose it? And how do you tell people to get that back?
Do you know, I was thinking about this recently because I think it's actually just a natural progression as human beings and as women. As we get older, we become more self-critical. You're not as brave. You worry more about what people think. And I've had it myself where I've wanted to launch a new business idea, and then I've kind of gone out to do it, and then I've stopped in my tracks because I'm thinking, well, what will people think? And then I think, well, when I started 10 years ago, I didn't think like that. So what's changed? I just think it's all about having more like self-awareness and then just reminding yourself that, like, just do it, because what is the worst that could happen? And you will beat yourself up more in the long run for not doing it than you will for doing it and making mistakes. So I think it's just like, sometimes it's just that inner dialogue, and you just have to kind of have a word with yourself. One of the biggest things as well, I think, is not comparing yourself to people on the internet, because I've done this. I tell people, don't do it. It's so hard not to do. But there's I'm really interested in the subscription economy and membership sites. And I've always wanted to launch a members club, but I've never worked out what I want to offer within that. But I've toyed with ideas, and there's one kind of leading company in the UK that does it. And I've looked at them and I thought, what's the point when they've got 6,000 members and they're doing amazing? And then it's kind of put me off moving forward with my thing. Well, recently I actually started consulting for that brand, and I've seen what goes on behind the scenes. And I'm like, it's not as seamless as people think. They haven't got their shit together like you think they have. Mm-hmm. And that's been a massive confidence booster in that. Don't get sucked into what people are putting out on the internet, because actually what's going on behind the scenes is they're still trying to work out what they're doing. They're still questioning whether they should release that content or they should release their ideas. Like, everyone's in the same boat. And as soon as we can understand that, we're all sometimes fearful and we're all sometimes scared, but just go out and do it anyway, then I think that's when we'll all just be a little bit more brave with our decisions.
Yeah, I agree 100%. That just reminds me of a story I once heard about a company that was starting a coffee company, and they looked at Starbucks. Well, Starbucks has the market, right? But the founder said, hey, let's strive to be number two. Let's just be number two. And they, of course, became, and I don't remember if it was Pete's or Coffee Bean and Tea. I don't know who it was. But that is kind of, that's an entrepreneur, right, thought. You know, okay, let's just be number two. But I think that so many times we beat ourselves up. So we beat ourselves up for the failure. We beat ourselves up for not being what we think we should be today. So you really do think that's a more a woman challenge than men?
I do. I just think women are way more self-critical than men. I just think men and women are wired so differently. Men are just so in their own world half the time that they don't even think about what anyone else is doing. And whereas women, we overanalyze situations, we overthink situations. I definitely think it's more of a woman thing, 100%.
Do you have daily habits that you hold yourself accountable to kind of be as productive as you are? I'm always interested in kind of what's a day in the life of somebody in your shoes.
I do. People are constantly telling me that my morning routine is something to be proud of. So I haven't set an alarm for probably 8 years. I just wake up naturally, usually around 6, 7, and mornings to me are sacred. So I live by myself anyway, but well, I actually just broke up with my fiance a few weeks ago, but that's a whole other story. But I'm back to being by myself, which is fantastic because I can get back to the routine that I was in before, which, so I wake up naturally. I have a bath in the mornings because I love that quiet time in the bath with the candles on, just really relaxing into the day. I will do morning pages to just kind of offload everything on my mind onto 3 sides of paper, which helps give me clarity throughout the day. Read a book and do a meditation. And I'll finish my day most days the same way as I start it, with a bath, with the candles, reading a book.
Wow. So
just ease myself into the day. It's like a little mini retreat every day.
I love it.
Well, our listeners cannot see you right now, but your makeup is beautiful. So where does that fit in? I need some tips there.
You know, someone asked me the other day, they said, oh, I'd love to know what's your skincare routine. And I said, I'm not the person to ask because I literally use Dove soap and coconut butter moisturizer and that is it. And like now I've just got, I don't wear foundation. I just whack a bit of blusher on and.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially in this time, these times you really have to think, okay, you know, I really can put some makeup on today.
My face is like, what are you doing to me?
Exactly.
Meditation is something that last year was really new for me and still is a struggle for me, but I do get a lot out of it when I make time for that. And the gratitude journal is another one. I feel like, you know, I've come and gone with it, but do you feel that that is something important that does give you energy and kind of focus throughout your day?
100%. I think practicing gratitude is the reason why I have all the things that I have, because if you're grateful for the small things, then the big things will come. If you're not grateful for the little things, then you won't be given more. And it sounds like magic and it sounds like woo-woo la la if you don't understand the law of attraction, but it's so true. If anyone's sort of skeptical about exploring it, just literally start with a gratitude journal. And at the end of every day, just sit and think back, what are the 10 things you're most grateful for that day? And some people say to me, oh, I really struggle. I can't think of things. And I'm like, well, you know, you should be grateful for the air in your lungs. You should be grateful for the fact that you've got the legs that walked you to bed, or you had a roof over your head, or, you know, just look out of the window, be grateful for the trees that are blowing in the wind and the sun that rises every day without, you know, we just assume it's going to happen. There's so much to be grateful for. I actually found a gratitude journal from 5 years ago, which had a little book that I'd filled out. And I just thought, oh, that's so cute that I've been doing this for so long. And it really, really, really does make a difference.
And that is like, it's so great that you have that sacred time in the morning that you can just continue to do it and protect that time. I get up early just so I can have my morning as well, because I just love that kind of peace. Wait till you have kids.
Yeah, I think I'm not... I might skip out on that one.
Gone will be the 2-day baths, just saying. So talking about your business, your travel business, you know, because you had, you know, unfortunately the first go around didn't work out and then you're just like, okay, I'm going to follow my passion. How did you, who helped you there? You know, you were starting it on your own. How did you get support? You know, obviously I would think that the funds may have not have been there. Did you have a good network of people that you worked with at the beginning? Or could you kind of help our listeners who may be starting something and think, well, gosh, I'm working full time. I may not have the funds to support. I want to do this. What were the resources that you went to?
Well, I never had any money. I literally had £0. But I had a real true belief in what I was going to create. And so what I did is I designed a media kit and I just reached out to brands and I sold the story. I said, this is who I am, this is where I've been, and this is where I want to go. And they bought into it. I got advertisers on board so that funded the first print magazine. And then you just build it from there. But there were times in that process where my mum had said to me, you know, maybe you should get a job now. Maybe you should get a job. And I'm like, no, I'm not getting, I'm unemployable. I am not getting a job. So you also have to be so strong in your belief that you're going to make it, because even your closest family and friends will try and stop you or see you struggling and think that you should just kind of give up and get a job. But I also spent a lot of time being the yes girl. So I literally went to the opening of an envelope. I would be at every networking opportunity, every launch event. I'd be out handing out my cards so that people knew who I was, especially in my city, but you know, in the whole country as well. You've got to get yourself out there. And that's what I did. So I had a network of people, and I got advertisers to cover all costs so that I didn't have to like get a loan or anything like that, which I wouldn't have been able to do anyway with a bankruptcy under my belt. So
that's amazing. I mean, it really, and I think of it, I have two sons, and you know, the one thing I love, you know, I tell them all the time, like, follow your passion, follow your dreams. Like, I, you know, I want you, you've got this one life, but I could also see it that you'd sit there and go, oh, you know, if they're in their 20s, like, okay, honey, like, I want you to have stability too at some point. And it's so, and it's tough. And I know, even looking at like my life right now, once you have stability, it becomes kind of a handcuff, right? And it becomes tough to then let go of what you know and what you have. And so I admire that so much, of just having that bravery to say, you know, I know it's going to come. I have this vision. I trust it. I trust in the world. I trust in the universe that it's going to bring me what I want to, you know, want to have. And that's amazing. Like, what do you say to some of your friends or some of the millennial women that you coach and inspire, that are maybe stuck with some of that fear of letting go of what might be comforting and what they might have, you know, because you have to, I think, be willing to give up in order to move forward at a lot of times.
100%. I think visualization plays a massive part in that. If you can take 5 minutes out each day to sort of sit and visualize what your dream life looks like, what your day-to-day routine looks like, what you do from the minute you wake up in the morning. And once you start visualizing that every single day, then your gut will kind of reward you and say, yeah, we're going to do this. I believe in it. You just have to have that self-belief. So I just think through visualization, it'll really help you kind of release the fears and release the current life that you have and go and chase the one that you want. Mm-hmm. And also, I think some people kind of have this vision of what they want and it seems so unobtainable that they don't even bother trying. So one of the things that I suggest people do is kind of just take different areas of your life and work on them individually. So level up each area separately, whether it's like leveling up the way you dress. So, you know, start buying nicer clothes, start buying the nicer shoes and handbags that you want to make yourself feel good. Start buying better makeup or better hair, or, you know, different areas of your life. Start reading better personal development books. Start investing in courses and mentors and level up each area of your life so that you're slowly making steps towards it. And then one day you'll look around and realize by doing each bit individually, you've actually created the whole life that you visualized in the first place.
Yeah. Yeah. And I would think that even you putting together that media kit, of course, you were brave enough to send it out, but there may be listeners that are like, oh my gosh, that was very brave, right? Maybe just putting it together, right? Mm-hmm. Put together like you have a media kit, what your vision is. That becomes a vision, right? That is going to move things forward. You're going to say, okay, this is what I want. This is, Heather and I are very big into vision boards. We do them every year. But a lot of what we've been doing, the podcast, just getting, putting things together and expanding things. Once you start, that's when you start to build momentum. And so just starting anywhere, whether it's your wardrobe or whatever, the other things that you mentioned, I think is so important.
Yeah, no, I do. I think it's Oprah Winfrey that says, just think, what's the next best step, and then do that. And then once you've done that, then think, what's the next best step after that? So you would create your media kit, and then you've done that. You can tick it off. You've achieved something. And then think, what's the next best step after this? And then maybe just send it to your family or friend to get their feedback and see what they think. Make some tweaks. And the next best step after that would be maybe sending it to a potential client or a potential sponsor or whatever it is, the way you're going to generate money, and get your feedback from that. And then send it to a few more people and a few more people. And then the next thing you know, emails are coming in, opportunities are coming in that you'd never even thought of. And then it's all about the momentum. Like you say, once those wheels are turning, they'll get faster and faster. And then next thing you know, you'll have a multi-million pound empire and won't even remember where you started.
Yeah, such a fun time too when those things happen. You're like, oh my gosh, they want us. They like us.
Yeah. When you look at your vision board and go, oh my God, like, I got that. I take that up, you know, like, holy cow, these things happened. It's amazing.
because I actually did it recently. So I've been very fortunate to have been sponsored by Land Rover for the past 3 years, which means I've had a free Range Rover. So they upgrade it each year. I get the new Range Rover. Obviously, it's all a partnership through the business, House of Coco. We create content for their brand, taking the car on road trips all over the country. Obviously, once COVID-19 came into play, that contract ended. Obviously, all cars are taken off the road, and I didn't have a car. So I saw a car on Auto Trader, which is like a sales site for cars, and it's a convertible Mercedes SLK, and it was £10,000. And I saw it, and I thought, I want that car. So I took a picture, a screenshot. I said to my mum, I said, I'm going to get this car. And I messaged the guy who was selling it, and I said, I'm going to buy this car from you at the end of lockdown. And within 5 weeks, I saved £10,000. I bought the car on Friday.
Oh my God.
So I now have the car. And it took me 5 weeks to make £10,000. But I wrote it. It's still on my wall now. But I wrote on the wall, car fund. And I put £10,000. And then I'd cross it off as I made the money. And this was money that came from places that I'd never even thought of, people that were coming and asking for coaching or whatever, you know, and things that I never even thought of doing. And yeah, within 5 weeks, I made the £10,000, which was just kind of like spare money to just sort of save. Bought the car. So, you know, but every single day I looked at the car, I visualized myself picking the car up. I visualized myself putting the roof down and taking it out for a drive. And like, it was in my mind every single day. And now it's reality.
I love that. I love that. So what's next for you? What is like, what's the next step and what's for you, your goals and your vision? Because as you just said, I'm sure COVID-19 could like, you know, be a big obstacle in your business, but how do you overlook that? And what are some of the goals that you have for yourself right now?
I think with situations like this, we need to just remember that they're only temporary and it's a time, we're entrepreneurs, it's our job to see the opportunity in any situation. So it's in situations like this that we should thrive. So obviously we've lost all our travel advertisers, things are on hold, we're not making money from that. But all our revenue has been replaced by digital marketing agencies who are creating content for online because more people are consuming content. So by reaching out to them and saying, look, our platform's here, we're available, we've replaced that income. And one of the things as well is what I think the mistake a lot of people have done is they've turned their businesses into sort of COVID-19 news outlets. And it's like, no, just leave that to the news and the professionals and you continue with your mission because your audience were following you because of what you were giving them. So people came to us for travel and we're still giving them travel inspiration and escapism because that's what people need in these times. So we just stuck to what we were doing. We haven't been able to print the magazine because the shops are shut and the distributors and things like that. But we've just gone digital only. So people can read it for free in the app store now. It used to be paid for, but we've released it for free to give people that kind of time out. And then one of the things that I've noticed is people are putting more effort and care into themselves, which is amazing. And back to what I was saying before about my obsession with the membership sites and the subscription economy, I'm going to launch a members club called the Self-Care and Success Club, which will be all around building successful businesses, but also making sure, you know, you focus on your self-care within that. Because I do think that entrepreneurship is kind of, people think it's all about working really hard and hustling nonstop and burning yourself out, burning the candle at both ends. And I think that's the old way of doing it. And I think now you've got to make sure, you know, you're in the right mind frame, you're having time to yourself, you're building businesses that give you a lifestyle that you want, not ones where you're tied to your desk all the time. So this new business was an idea that came from COVID-19. So I've seen opportunity in it.
Yeah, so I mean, it's so great. I mean, that should be your life, right? It's all encompassing, taking care of yourself, taking care of your career, your future.
Exactly.
Yeah. So I'm fascinated with the travel piece. And I think for myself personally, my husband and I are just like, we're watching these shows that are showing cooking in all over countries and we're writing down places. And so I think, you know, pivoting any business that you're in today and as you're doing based on what the current climate is, you know, where you should be at any time. That way you can evolve. So, you know, whether it's digital, because, you know, we're just like waiting for the chance to rebook all of our tickets and travel again. So I think that for our listeners, it'll be amazing to like look at your site and see, you know, what, you know, where's my next move?
Absolutely. I was going to say, I just said to my husband the other day, I'm like, oh my gosh, like as soon as this is over, I want you and I alone, like we're going to go away somewhere to, you know, forget the kids for a while. And like, I want to go on a spa and a girl's trip. And I mean, I feel like I am planning more trips right now than ever before, because we all have that bug of like, get me out.
I think so too. But one of the things, what I think is going to happen is people are going to love their own country so much more. And we're not going to be thinking about getting on the first flight out of here. There's so much more of a rise in staycations. Like, all I want to do is go to the Lake District and stay in a log cabin, and that's just 2 hours away. I'm not even thinking about getting on a plane and getting out of here, because I think people are going to be cautious for a while. So I think like the staycations will be on the rise. So people just sort of having a break, but in your own city, you know, go, even just go into your local restaurant is going to be amazing for us when they open back up.
We've been playing a ton of games and with my family, and this one that we play is like, what would you rather? And one of the questions was, would you rather live in a 5-mile radius for your whole life or have to stay in a different place every night? Well, pre-COVID, I would have said staying in a different place every night would have been horrible, but now I made up. So would you rather? How about you? Would you rather?
So would I rather stay in a different place every night? Remind me of them. Sorry.
Would you rather stay in live in a 5-mile radius of where you're at? Mm-hmm. That's all you can go for your whole life. Or, this is a silly question for you, I think. Yeah. Or a different place every night.
A different place every night. That was pretty much my life anyway, pre-COVID.
Me too. Yeah, I'm with you. Me too. Although I will say, I think there is beauty, as you said, in you know, we were supposed to go on a trip for spring break, and instead I'm like, I'm taking that money that we got and sprucing up our own backyard. You know, we have a nice backyard. We barely used to go and hang out back there. And so just making it as much of a resort as we can. I mean, we live in San Diego, so it is already resort-ish, but you know, having a fire pit and having a pool and learning to appreciate, kind of going back to gratitude, is learning to appreciate what you have and, you know, the time that you have together, and just being able to say, gosh, you know, like so many people would probably kill to have this, and we have it and we take it for granted so often. And so I think that is one thing this has definitely taught us.
Yeah, I've loved seeing people kind of come into their own in this time, and people spending more time with family and getting creative. And I did an art class last week. So a new studio had opened in London, but she obviously had to close because of this. So she pivoted and she created at-home art kits. So she sent it out and I did it at home and painted this giraffe. And you start the class with a meditation and then you kind of just get lost in art. And I'm not very good at art. I'm terrible. But I absolutely loved it. I put the candles on, the meditation music, and I just zoned out for an hour concentrating on this piece of art, which actually I'm really proud of. But it's just been so interesting seeing people do different things and be creative and work with what they've got. Like I did a at-home spa day, and I created a full spa menu for myself as if I was going out to the spa, you know, put the spa music on, turn my phone off. It was just bliss. And I was only going in the living room, but I just... it felt like I was going somewhere different. So it has been good seeing people sort of appreciate what they've got, like you say.
Yeah, it's like we tell our kids, you know, it's not boredom, it's boring. So what can you do to change that around?
Yeah, I say that all the time. You're not bored, you're boring. I say to my friends, bored. I'm like, no, you're just boring. I am never bored. There's always something to do.
Yeah.
What's your one piece of advice to, you know, women out there that you want to just inspire? What would be your final words to say to them today?
I guess just really that there is only one you. So, you know, we are all individual. We all have something to bring to the table. We all have a message. Just be true to yourself. Bring your message to the world. Like, that was why you were brought here, to share what is inside. So that would probably be the message.
I love it. I love that. And Laura, how can our listeners get a hold of you? Where can they find you?
And just across social media, it's Laura Bartlett Zero on all channels, and then just at House of Coco.
So our last question that we ask all of our guests on this show, but what does it mean to you to be brave?
I think kind of going back to what I just said, but being brave is being true to yourself. I think that's what being brave is. I think sometimes you can get lost in what other people are doing and what's going on in society, and you lose who you truly are. I think being true to yourself is being very, very brave. People lose themselves so much these days. You've got to be true to yourself.
I love that. That is powerful. Thank you so much, Laura, for coming on and for sharing your amazing success. I know for me personally, I'm just completely inspired and awestruck by how much you've been able to overcome and just see right through fear. And so I love that. I hope that, you know, our listeners will share this. I know I certainly will. So thank you.
Thank you. I really appreciate you having me on.
Hi, everyone. I hope you enjoyed this podcast. And I'd like to ask you, if you did, if you could please go to Apple Podcasts and leave a review and a 5-star rating, I hope. I really would like to get this podcast out to more women, supporting women, and I can't do it without your help. Thanks so much, and be brave.